and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
How about that?
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Let's get him. Let's get him hard.
Pedro Fernandez.
Better grab me quick before my knees give way.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and another production of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 35, make that 36 plus years now, your inside look into the world of combat sports. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the show for the next 2 hours, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 211. I'm talking about the Dan Patrick Channel and, of course, SB Nation Sports, as well as a plethora of other internet platforms. We're going to talk combat sports versus boxing. We're bringing the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, of course, boxing, about to return. Oscar De La Hoya says he will have a card July 4th, Independence Day, of course, a big card, and that will be in front of a non-audience, much like the UFC did last night. So we've got some UFC news to talk about. And in hour number two, I'll take you into the deep world of Ray Arcel. Born in 1899, died in 1994, he was considered one of the greatest trainers of all time. The Mafia tried to get him. There's all kinds of crazy. There's a great story in Ray Arcel, and that will be most of hour number two today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. So we do have open phone lines. If you want to join us on the toll-free, you can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or the more easier, non-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studios, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. 1613. So I think I'm 1 week away from returning to the studios. I'm tired of broadcasting from a closet. Well, I'm not a closet. Part of mine is we're having a good time. This is Ring Talk Live on Sports Byline.
Now, let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The best Little Richard story I've got is a friend of mine, Jeffrey Traeger, a rock promoter here in Northern California. I've done some events with him in the past. We're going to do some in the future, but obviously it doesn't look like that's going to happen as far as live events are concerned anytime soon. Anyway, Jeff was 16 years old. He was a bellboy at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco, and he had to bring something to Little Richard's room. And when he went up to Little Richard's room, Little Richard was wearing a purple negligee with nothing underneath it. That's my Little Richard story. With that, I take it from Northern California to Southern California. Godfather Larry Merchant, can you top that one?
No, I did see Little Richard a couple of times perform at charity events back in the heyday of AIDS. And he was a force of nature.
Richard Wayne Pennyman, better known as Little Richard. I remember my mother used to play his records and the Tutti Frutti and all that kind of crazy stuff back in the 60s. And wow, so time flies. Godfather, boxing, you know, I mean, people are, how can I put this? You got fighters sitting on the sidelines. They're upset. They want to get back to action. The UFC did a card last night where they didn't have a crowd, but they put on a card, and it seems to have worked, although one guy did test positive to weigh in, and they moved him on out for the virus. do you see boxing moving in that direction? Oscar says he wants to do a show just like that July the 4th.
Well, Bob Arum has spoken up as well in Vegas. Look, we don't know how the society is going to open. If they can do boxing-style events without an audience, good luck to them. But it takes a lot of people to put on a show, and we'll see how healthy that is.
Couple comebacks in the news this week. No, not you or I. We're not coming back. Oscar De La Hoya says he wants to come back against an MMA fighter. We'll get to that in just a second. But one of your good friends, I shouldn't say that, good friends, bad friends, one of you guys you sort of sparred with the microphone, Mike Tyson says he wants to come back at the age of 53 years old. Yikes. 53.
Well, when I hear those things, I hear that there are prominent and successful, highly successful ex-boxers who need money. I can't imagine any other reason for that.
You know, getting hit, how can I put this? I'm not going to go into it. Getting hit at 30 is one thing. Getting hit at 50 is another thing. I wouldn't want to get hit at I'm 62. I wouldn't want anybody cracking on me, and I wouldn't want anybody cracking on me 8 years ago. 8 years ago either. But then again, I'm not Mike Tyson, and I'm probably not in need of money. De La Hoya is not in need of money. He wants to talk about fighting a comeback fight with that Conor McGregor guy, the clown that made all that money with Mayweather.
Well, I was just about to say, Pedro, that this sounds like a money heist. I think when Mayweather made hundreds of millions of dollars going after that McConnell is his name?
McGregor,
sorry. Same thing. And and they made it a boxing contest.
Yeah.
So I could see where De La Hoya and Tyson and dozens of others imagine fighting some of these UFC fighters in a boxing contest. And, of course, it favors them. Maybe that'll take 10 or 15 years off their lives.
Yeah, well, let's look at comebacks just for a second. I mean, I can't think of Ali's comeback. Of course, that wasn't successful. It ended with Larry Holmes punishing him in Las Vegas. I mean, we can go on and on and on. Ray Leonard got punished by Terry Norris after Ray promising me. I remember Ray and I running together in two different training camps, Godfather, and two different training camps, and Ray telling me, Pedro, they will never have to tell me to go away. You will never see me get beat up in the end. And what happened? He got beat up in the end by both Camacho and Terry Norris.
Well, Bernard Hopkins told me the same thing. You'll never see me beaten up. And it took a beating for him to walk away. And other fighters have felt that as well. Muhammad Ali, when we were down in Caracas for the Foreman Norton fight, sat down next to me in the lunchroom and said, do you think I'll be able to retire? And coming from him, it was a sort of a profound question. He understood how difficult it would be for Muhammad Ali to retire because he was always a marquee name and would make marquee dollars. And he didn't want to get beaten up to the point where he didn't know how to sign his name. So, but he was thinking about it before the Foreman fight, understanding the danger he was walking into. So, yeah, fighters have been around a while. They understand that they've lost a hair or a foot in terms of their responses in the ring. So, there have been a few who have had some success. Certainly a few have made a lot of money. That's happened. But Sugar Ray Robinson made at least one and maybe two comebacks. He stopped his career in his early 30s to try to be a Las Vegas dancing act, but that didn't work out too well. But it gave him a little respite to come back to boxing, and he came back pretty strongly.
Maybe I told you this before, Godfather, but I was with Ray Robinson in June of 84 at the Hearns Duran fight. Hearns knocks out Duran in two rounds. So I'm sort of like shell shocked. I couldn't imagine Duran getting drilled like that, like Pepino Cuevas style by Tommy Hearns, but it was a righteous knockout, no doubt about that. So I go back to the Aladdin Hotel, and I'm there with Ray Robinson. And he's in the room right across from me. We're talking, and he says to me, I guess that's gonna, that's gonna hurt Duran's reputation. I said the no mas thing, and now tonight getting knocked out. And he said, well, history will look at Duran as a greater fighter than Hearns. And this was after Hearns had just knocked him out. And I couldn't understand. I was sort of perplexed at that. And then Ray started explaining to me the climbing, the coming up in weight and being able to beat guys at heavier weights and this and that. And he really thought that Duran was a super distant. One of the greatest fighters of all time. You don't think that way, do you?
No, I think he was. Yeah, I think he's one of the greats. He was one of the best fighters of his time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all a fighter can really be at the end of the day, and everything else is opinion. But there's no doubt he was one of the best fighters of his time. And yes, he lost. To Hearns, he lost to a bigger man. I mean, there was no crime in that. Sugar Ray Robinson himself lost to Joey Maxim in the famous light heavyweight championship fight when he was leading on the cards and the
Heat got him.
And the Heat got him, correct. The Heat got the referee, which is the only time I've ever heard of that, earlier in the fight. They had to change referees. It was so hot and hotter even under the lights. So I don't think anybody thinks that Sugar Ray Robinson's career was destroyed by losing to Joey Maxim, who was a hell of a good fighter, good enough as a light heavyweight to have beaten Floyd Patterson.
Good.
So, if you're a real fan, you understand that Marciano beat Joe Louis, but that didn't make him better than Joe Louis. Joe Louis had been champion for 12 or 13 years by that time.
The wisdom of the Godfather. What more can I say? That's why we have Larry on, and we're blessed with his presence. Merchant, Larry Merchant, will stick around for another segment. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. This is a Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 2 hours, beginning at 11 a.m. Pacific time, live from the Sports Byline studios.
I think boxing is dangerous. Any man being hit in the head, the brain's a delicate thing. I think it should be well protected. If a fella's not qualified, he shouldn't be allowed to fight. But football is proven to have more deaths. Baseball, ice hockey, horse racing, is a car racing is much more dangerous. But I would advise nobody to box if they get hit too much and it's too dangerous.
Baby, 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 baby. I got the.
Well, where do you hurt?
It's my head, Doc. It's my head.
Dizzy? Ringing in your ears?
Well, I mean, it's all the time, Doc.
Like bells?
That's it, Doc, like bells. Huh? That Doc.
How do they go? Dong dong, ding ding, or ding dong? It's important.
Ding dong? Dong ding?
No second guessing. Too bad. Should go dong dong.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I don't go back as far as that movie, but my producer does. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of combat sports. On the line from Southern California, the retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Hall of Fame himself, Mr. Larry Merchant. And Larry, I was looking through some old films the other day, And I saw a man that I truly, truly respect. And I met him a couple different times, but never got to sit down and expand on any particular conversation. It's like, hi, how are you? But it was Ray Arcel. And Ray Arcel, of course, the trainer, was born in 1899 in Terre Haute, Indiana. And then he lived until the age of 94. But I'm going to play some clips from a Dick Cavett show in hour number two here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. But I know you had some interactions with Ray. What was he like?
Actually not, Pedro. I was around, he was around, but our paths might have crossed, but not too often. By the time I was seriously covering big-time boxing, he seemed to be a figure of the past, almost. Mm-hmm. But it's significant that you remember Arcel, that Arcel in his own right as a trainer was a star, a name that meant something, that made you want to read the article about him or about what his thoughts about boxing were. But I really didn't know him.
You know what is sort of intrigued me about him was that he ran with his fighters until he was close to 80. But I used to run with my guys or guys that I would try to train, and I would run them into the ground. So I don't know if Ray ran them into the ground, but the bottom line is, of course, he had the Durant, he had Roberto Duran and Benny Leonard. Benny Leonard, of course, considered he and Duran the two greatest lightweights of all time. So I would have loved to have asked him what would have happened had those two clashed. Okay, let's move on to another subject. Back to the concept of studio boxing. I know you don't like it. I don't like it without an audience. But I was looking at some of the movie stats for the first weekend of this lockdown. I think they did $500 million. One movie did $500 million online. Something like some crazy amount of money online as far as theaters are concerned. So theaters are on the way out, obviously, unless you can sit 6 feet apart in a theater. So theaters are starting to go, and people aren't going to sit 6 feet apart in an arena. It's just not going to happen. So I think this televised boxing, I think this is going to be the future for a while until we get a vaccine.
Maybe so. I don't know exactly when. I think that we're starting to, to see indications that stuff is going to be happening sooner rather than later, but I don't know. And boxing is unique in the sense that it's not a team sport. It doesn't have a calendar and a season's worth of fights coming up. So its very freelance nature might enable it to make a comeback more quickly than other sports.
In boxing news this week, Andy Ruiz. Let me get that right. Andy Ruiz, not Auntie Louise. I made a mistake there. Andy Ruiz has joined Team Canelo. Is there an upside to that? I mean, in my mind, he's a disgrace to boxing, and I just wish he would just go away and never come back. I'm talking about, Andy Ruiz. That showing up for that second fight in that type of condition, to me, that's an indictable charge.
Well, the fans will decide that, and he will have a say in it as well. It sounds to me like joining Canelo's camp or stable means he's trying to be more serious about fighting than he had been in much of his or all of his career, and we have seen that Canelo is a young man who's been very serious about his career, staying in shape, preparing for each fight. And if nothing good comes of this, then we probably have seen the last of them. But I think Ruiz understands that he has the ability to compete on the highest level, What he doesn't have is the ability to push away from the dinner table. So we'll see if that provides him, some kind of environment where he gets it and he wants to be a fighter. He was supposed to come back in August. I ran into him at a television show about a month ago, and he was strong looking. I couldn't tell, whether he weighed 290 or 260, but I think this is an indication that he wants to make it back. I mean, wasn't Tyson Fury a disgrace when he became addicted and reportedly weighed close to 400 pounds? Did he come back?
No, but Godfather, and I understand that, and I understand that, and I'm willing to forgive Tyson Fury because he didn't perpetrate a fraud upon the entire boxing world. Andrew Ruiz perpetrated a fraud. He told people he was in shape, he was ready, the whole nine yards. He showed up at 283 pounds. When he checked into camp, he was close to 330 pounds.
I'm not disputing you, but there are...
Am I too rough?
I'm sorry?
Am I being too rough on him, too harsh?
I think so. You know, he's still a big kid in a way. And he has qualities, fast hands, a good chin, et cetera, that can still be useful in a heavyweight career. And I'm not going to be surprised if he comes back weighing closer to 250 than to 290.
That would be a marked improvement, no doubt about that. Here's Ray Wheatley's reporting out of Australia. They've offered Tyson $1 million to come back and fight a guy named Paul Galen, Barry Hall, or Sonny Bill Williams in Australia by a Melbourne promoter. So I guess the offers are starting to come in. I think he's going to make some money in this, Godfather. I think Mike's going to get, I'm not saying get rich, but he's going to make some money on this.
Well, this is a case of, I think his head wants to get back into it because of the money, but I don't think his heart wants to get back into it. I mean, are they going to put him in there with some hack, some taxi driver? That's the likelihood.
I saw him almost quit like a dog against Kevin McBride in that last fight in Washington, D.C. I guess I think it was 2004. But to lose to Kevin McBride, yeah. Yikes, man. It's time. And he lost to a guy, I can't remember the guy's name before that, Danny Williams. So, I mean, it's time for Mike Tyson to walk away a long time ago. But just come back because boxing is a freak show to an extent. I think it's going to be successful money.
You know what? I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay.
You know,
on that note, I want to wish your godmother a great, happy Mother's Day. Give her my best. Happy Mother's Day to her, and I hope she's feeling a little bit better. But give her my best. And, Godfather, I thank you for your time each week. Listeners shoot me a little emails here and there and notes here and there and say, guys, wonderful hearing Larry each week. So, and I agree. I concur. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Week in and week out, you bless us with your presence, sir. Thank you so much.
You're supposed to tell me that on Father's Day. Okay.
I'll wait till Father's Day. I love you, Godfather. You have a great week.
You too, Pedro.
The one, the only, folks, the incomparable Larry Merchant. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. We'll get to some MMA news after the break, and maybe I'll fit into a short little clip on the man I talked about a little while ago, talking about Roberto Duran. Of course, I consider Duran the greatest fighter of all time, but why do I do that? Because he fought bigger guys. You guys just don't realize this. There's two things matter in the world when it comes to size, combat sports and pornography, and he's in combat sports. You're tuned to Ring Talk.
Think about the bad things I try not to do.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I miss you a lot. It's been long enough. Can we talk?
Latest from Lenny Williams. Man, what can I say? Lenny's got it going on. He's got a new LP out. They call them LPs. They call them albums. They call them digital releases. It's called So Fine. And that's a memorable song that he wrote with me in mind. You are tuned to an extent. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live. That's a long story. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Last night, wow, the UFC rock and rolled as far as a live show is concerned. In the main event, Tony Ferguson came back, of course, talking about the former interim lightweight champion, 155 pounds, and never really lost his title. He had been injured, so he couldn't fight on a couple of occasions. Of course, he was supposed to fight Khabib here, and Khabib pulled out, said he wanted a full training camp, the real lightweight champion. In stepped Justin Gaethje. Yikes. Justin Gaethje can fight. Now 21-2, 4-2 in the UFC. He is the real deal, and now he's the interim lightweight champion. But then again, he's got to fight Khabib, and that's not a good thing. Khabib's like 24-0, 28-0, 32-0, depending on what record keeper you talk to, but he's never been beaten. And the fact that he weighs in at 155 pounds for this lightweight limit and then gets into the octagon or the ring weighing somewhere around 180 pounds, it's not a good thing when you're fighting that guy. Because I talked before, and I'll say it again, I may be sound redundant, size matters in two things, combat sports and pornography. And this guy's weighing on you with 30 extra pounds? I mean, think about that. You're 155, you weigh in at 155, so maybe you go to 165, and you're trying to push some guy that's 20 pounds heavier than you off the top of you. He's laying on you. So that's what Khabib's thing is. I think he's got the weight advantage over a lot of guys. Not that he's saying he's not the best fighter in the world, not that he's saying, or maybe one of the best fighters in the world, not saying that, not saying he deserved to be, I'm not trying to besmirch his reputation or anything like that, but fair is fair. And if you had me fighting that guy, I wouldn't do it. They said, look, you got to fight him. We're in 155. We're going to weigh in today. He's going to fight you tomorrow. He'll weigh like 180. No. If I was a 180-pound champion and we're going to fight for a 180-pound championship, he could weigh 180. But if he's not going to fight, if it's not for a 180-pound title, why is he weighing in 180 when he weighed in at 155 the day before? Anyway, it's just not fair. At the end of the day, Khabib's got to straighten out that weight issue, and the UFC's got to address it, as do various athletic commissions who I believe are afraid of taking on the UFC, the monster that it is. Tony Ferguson drops to 25-3, was stopped in the 15th round, 15-1, the first 15-1, the first UFC fight he's ever lost. He had a long winning streak, but I got to give him some props. He took a licking. I mean, like a Timex watch, man, round after round after round after round. And he finally, stopped. They finally stopped in the fifth round at the end of the night. Tony Ferguson, no longer considered the best lightweight in the world by many people, because some people thought he was even better than Khabib, that Khabib was pulling out of these fights with him, or he was the fights were being, how can I say this, they weren't taking place, but a lot of it had to do with Khabib. It wasn't Khabib, it was injuries and timing and things like that. But at the end of the day, Tony Ferguson, of course, the guy that poured holy water on his wife about a year and a half ago because he thought she was spooky, he was a loser. Straight up a TKO on 5, the time was 3:39. On the clock. The co-feature, man, you could have predicted this one, didn't I tell you? This was easy. This was an easy, easy card. In fact, if I was gambling, and I don't gamble, if I was gambling, I'd be betting on these fights. I mean, not to Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson fight, but Henry Cejudo and Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz hadn't fought in 3.5 for 4 years. Hadn't made the bantamweight limit in 4 years. So you're going to bring a guy back after 4 years, a tall, lanky guy to take on Henry Cejudo, a 2008 Olympic gold medalist. Of course, the current champion, 125 and 135 pounds, meaning flyweight and bantamweight. Anyway, Dominic Cruz got lit up like a White House Christmas tree, got TKO, knee, and punches. Of course, round number 2, 4:58 in. Dominic, stick to the microphone. And the most predictable fight in the history of mixed martial arts, And I said this, and I've been saying this for weeks on the air. And if you listen to me, you went out and bet this guy, but you had to bet like $1,000 to win a dollar, I think. It was like 1,001 odds because he's knocking out everybody. But Francis Ngannou took on a kickboxer by the name of Jasrento Rozenstruik. And Rozenstruik got knocked out, and get this, 20 seconds. I said it would be the first blow he got hit with. I don't know if it was the first blow because I haven't seen the fight. I wasn't paying the $80 to watch this last night. That's another thing. We'll get to that in a minute. But Francis Ngannou, wow. Still, of course, lost the fight to Derek Lewis, lost the fight early on, and, of course, lost that title fight to Stipe Miocic. And Stipe Miocic's now talking about wanting to come back and fight Daniel Cormier this year after saying he couldn't have a full training camp because of the coronavirus until Dana White stepped in allegedly and allegedly threatened him. That's the talk going around. Anyway, Jasrento got lit up by 20 seconds. What can you say? 20 seconds. Catchweight fight. Calvin Kattar beat Jeremy Stephens. That was a TKO. Greg Hardy beat Yoan de Castro. That was a decision. Everything else on the card went to the scorecards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the fights went to the scorecards. If you're watching that fight card and watching all those fights go to decisions with no crowd in the background, that must have been not too cool. At the end of the night, Justin Gaethje, of course, steps up for a match against the unbeatable Khabib. That's like a death sentence. I mean, yeah, I'm going to make some money, but you're going to make some money, but you're going to get destroyed. I mean, really, truly destroyed. Now, we go from the world of mixed martial arts. We go back in time to I talked about him being the greatest fighter of all time. I prodded Larry Merchant on him a little while ago. Of course, I'm talking about Roberto Duran. Man, the guy had over 120 fights. We'll talk in depth after this piece on Roberto Duran. Here's Roberto on ABC.
I have in my office a picture of Ray Arcel handling Benny Leonard. And on the bottom is a picture of Ray Arcel handling Roberto Duran, 60 years apart. Here's a man who trained the two greatest lightweights in the history of the ring.
Fight fans love a puncher. Fight fans love somebody who has that jungle intensity, the Dempsey, the Duran.
Duran was fighting a guy that I knew named Benny Huertas, who came from the Gramercy Gym on 14th Street. He was a good, very technical fighter. Duran destroyed him. And I said, holy God, look, who is this guy? And we soon found out he was the greatest lightweight of maybe of the century.
Within the year, he's fighting Ken Buchanan, the lightweight championship. Buchanan's a cutie. Buchanan is a good technician. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. Duran took him apart. By the 13th round, a battered Buchanan had to spit out his mouthpiece many rounds earlier in order to breathe. And Duran just lets go with one right to the cojones. And Johnny Lobianco, the referee who hadn't seen anything, the low blow or anything, he's just, you know, waving it off. Meanwhile, here's Buchanan in agony.
135 pounds. He was as good as it's ever been. He was, you know, and he just got better with every fight. He was a brilliant defensive fighter. People never think of him as that. But it was very hard to hit him. He could punch. He was tough.
And if you ever saw Roberto Duran fight, you never forgot it. Because he was a different act. He was like a thunderstorm coming across the ring at you. I don't know of any other fighter who was quite that wild in the ring, and yet he was in control of himself as a boxer.
This was a man, is still the hero of the Latino boxing fan. Didn't matter, he's Panamanian, Mexican, and Puerto Rican. It's Roberto Duran.
As a lightweight, I think he was unbeatable as a lightweight. Although he had his greatest fight, oddly enough, as a welterweight, won that first shot with Sugar Ray Leonard.
It was just amazing because it rained like crazy and people put the garbage bags on top of their head and, oh, it was torrential. And then Duran walked out and it stopped raining and, of course, the fight was legendary.
There were several of us at ringside waiting for the fighters to come in the ring, and Joe Frazier happened to be sitting with us. And Duran comes in, and he's snarling and sneering and looking. And we said to Joe Frazier, "Joe, who does that remind you of?" Because Frazier was similar to that, not quite as wild, but similar. And Joe took the question very seriously, and he looked, and he's looking at Duran, and he's goes on from like 30 to 40 seconds, and finally he says, "Yeah, he reminds me of somebody, Charles Manson."
And Duran staring at Lennon.
He was Roberto Duran against the undefeated, ever popular Ray Leonard. Beats him from pillar to post. Second round drives him across the ring, gives him a whooping.
He came out like a man who was not going to lose, and you saw it in him. He was ferocious. He was clever. He almost bullied Sugar Ray Leonard, and he just had great glee in beating him.
Leonard, of course, was a pretty boy, and a lot of critics said, "Oh, when he's in a real tough fight, he'll fold. He's got no heart. He's too pretty." And Leonard went out that night to show the world that he could fight Duran on his terms. And it was an incredible 15 rounds. No knockdowns. I don't think there was any blood. But it was magnificent. And both men, the height of their skills, and they put on a tremendous fight.
He allowed Duran to dictate the moment. Because Duran knew you couldn't win a boxing match against Ray Leonard, but you could win a fight. Well, Leonard got sucked into that. And pretty soon, it went from a boxing match to a fight. Yet even at that, if you watch it, it was a lot closer fight than people think. He lost, and it was a crushing blow to him. He couldn't conceive of such a thing.
It's devastating for any undefeated fighter to kind of put things back in perspective, to get back to who he is and who he was, because he has to deal with losing. And very few fighters can come back from that loss, from that devastation.
Sugar Ray Leonard, of course, the greatest fighter of all time, according to Sugar Ray Leonard. But then, of course, he came back one time too many as well. You know, I was sort of blown away by the fact that Ray would come back, because for so many years he kept telling me, "Pedro, you won't see me get beat up. You won't see me come back and get beat up. I won't be an old man." And what happened? Terry Norris beat him up. I mean, you know, Hector Camacho beat him up. I had to televise that Camacho fight. That was one of the saddest things I've ever done in my life. But that's boxing. That's the way guys are. You know, they come back when they're not supposed to come back. And age played a role, of course, in Ray Leonard. And as far as that fight with Camacho was concerned, he went into that fight with a messed up Achilles. You know, sometimes you got to fight with injuries. Ray Leonard fought with injuries a couple of different times, and it hurt him, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking into the world of boxing and MMA, of course. And hour number two upcoming on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, of course, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and as well as many of the SB Nation Sports Network channels coming up. In hour number two, we're going to spend some time. Wow, we're going to go into a heavy dude. This guy was really, really heavy. When I say heavy, I mean like intellectually. Yeah, he was a boxing trainer, but he was like an Einstein type of guy. He really was. I'm talking about Ray Arcel. Of course, Ray Arcel trained both Benny Leonard, and you heard that Bill Gallo talk about that a little while ago, Bill Gallo and that Roberto Duran piece. And speaking of the guys that were in that piece, with retired Bill Gallo, Bert Sugar, and Roberto's the Boston Globe, but those guys put it together pretty nice there. At the end of the day, maybe nobody better than Duran pound for pound, but Ray Leonard, can't say. Those two guys, June 20th, 1980, maybe the greatest fight of all time. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live, baby, on Sports Byline.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Whoa, you know what that means? It's birthday time, baby. I'm talking about birthdays, of course, in the house. Want to mention last week, Nestor Linares had his 60th birthday. My buddy over there in Concord, California, Antioch to be exact. Of course, got the girl everybody wanted, Virginia. And Frank Guzman, my boxing buddy, of course, from Oakland, California, training at King's Gym. He had a birthday, yes, today. And one of my fellow, well, I'm going to say he was a great guy. We worked together at Pier 39 as far as Pier 39 management was concerned. Leonard Coot is celebrating his birthday today as well. Leonard's got a great family. Props to all those people and happy birthday. Of course, this is Mother's Day. It's always rough to do a little broadcasting on Mother's Day because you tend to get emotional here and there. So I'm not going to get emotional here and there. I do miss my aunt. I do miss my mother. And I do miss her, a lot of people. Of course, on Mother's Day, everybody's got to reach out and do something. Sometimes we're in a face with a situation where we can't get together and physically get together and remember people and have a good time and this and that. So get on the phone. Do FaceTime. Get the Zoom thing. That's going on. All this kind of good stuff. So take advantage of some of these social media platforms that are a pain in the ass for the most part, but they can help you out. And if you can bring like 18 or 20 family members together on a Zoom line or on a Facebook line or something like that, more power to you, because that's 18 people you wouldn't have gotten had you not attempted to. So reach out today. This is Mother's Day. Try to be nice to everybody. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Not Mother's Day Central. Hour number two of Ring Talk coming up. Of course, we'll talk about the great trainer, Ray Arcel. Going to go deep with Ray Arcel. I mean, real deep with Ray Arcel. Ray Arcel was like the Einstein of boxing. He was an amazing man. Of course, he got beat up by the mob. We'll talk about that. All kinds of good stuff in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 35, make that 36 plus years now of being often imitated but never duplicated. That's why we're still knocking out all bums 36 years later. Stay tuned for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, and SB Nation Sports.